Welcome to the Plan the Magic podcast, where we help you plan your trip to the happiest place on earth without a travel agent, with your host, Samantha DeCastro-Corcoran. On today's podcast, we are going to talk about what to expect on your first trip. I am not affiliated with Disney, the Walt Disney Company, or Disneyland in any way. These podcasts are meant to be educational and support you on your planning journey and are as accurate as possible on date of publication, but things do change, so always double check. We're not responsible for any discrepancies. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Plan the Magic podcast. Today we are going to be talking about everything to kind of get you ready for your very first trip. So this episode is for people who have not been to the Disneyland Resort yet, and you kind of want to have an idea of what to expect when you arrive on your first day. Before we jump into that, I want to go a little bit into my first time. I was 17 the first time I went to Disneyland. It was the summer of 2008, and I had just graduated from high school. And we went with, it was my parents, my two younger brothers, who one is 4 years younger than me and one is 13 years younger than me. And then we also went with my aunt and uncle and my two cousins, who were closer in age to my younger brother than to me and my other brother. So we did have three younger kids. My brother and one cousin were five. And then I think that makes my other cousin about like 7 or 8. And then, yeah, so we had big range of people. It was 9 of us all together, and we did, like, we stayed in a hotel with adjoining rooms, and we did pretty much the whole trip together. So we did do, like, SoCal in general. We were there for 10 days. We did 3 days in the Disneyland Resort. We had 3-day park hopper tickets, and we stayed at, it's the name of the hotel is different now, but it's like, it's just off, and I'm gonna look it up. Hold on. It's called the Majestic Garden now. It was a branded hotel when we went, but it's changed since then. But it is just north of the park, just off the I-5. So it is technically walking distance, but we did take the free shuttle that they have, and they still have that whenever we went to the parks. So when we went in 2008 that first time, we had no plans for the park themselves. We just kind of showed up and we did what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. It was still in the time of the traditional Fast Pass tickets. So if you wanted to use Fast Pass, you'd have to go to the actual attraction, put in your paper ticket, and then it would spit out a Fast Pass ticket. So we did utilize Fast Pass when we were there, and we definitely got stuff done. My aunt and uncle are more thrill ride people. So me and my one brother would go with them on like the bigger rides. And then my parents, my dad gets motion sickness and my mom's not good with heights. So they're not huge ride people, and they would take the three youngest if they couldn't go on the rides with us and do more tame things like teacups or Pirates of the Caribbean. They did that ride a bunch. Those sorts of things. And I mean, we didn't have a plan, but it was amazing. We saw parades. There's rides we missed, but you wouldn't even have known that if you would have been there with us. It was a great time. I absolutely loved it, obviously, because I went back like 4 years later. But yeah, that was our first trip. It was magical for me, and my cousins loved it. My aunt and uncle, I think more my aunt than my uncle, but they loved it. I don't think my dad will ever set foot in a Disneyland resort or Disney park in general ever again, unless I absolutely beg him to, and maybe if there's grandchildren involved, but we'll see. That's a future me problem. But yeah, so that's my first little story. Had no expectations or idea of what was going on and going to happen while we were there. I had done some research, like reading through Wikipedia pages and stuff before we went, but nothing like what's available now and the fact that there's an app and like all that sort of stuff. So it's definitely more confusing now than back then in 08. So I'm going to go through kind of what to expect if this is your first trip to the Disneyland Resort. If you're anything like me, I have a little bit of social anxiety, so when I'm going somewhere new, I need to know what the parking situation is, I need to know what the menu for the food is, and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of the premise of this podcast. Okay, so we're going to talk before you go. So when you decide that you are going to go on a Disneyland trip, as of recording, which is today's July 8th, 2024, we do still need reservations for the park. So once you purchase your tickets, whether that's through directly through Disney or if you go through a partner like Getaway Today, which will usually give you at least, it's the only real discount you're ever going to find, other than actual ticket deals through the parks, is doing through an official provider like Getaway Today or those sorts of similar things. If you're an AMA member or an AAA member, that kind of stuff. So you buy your tickets. You decide which, you know, and we'll go into this in more detail in a different podcast, what kind of ticket is best for you, whether it's a park hopper, how many days, all that stuff. So you buy your tickets, and then once you have your tickets, you are going to have to go either on your computer or if you have the app, you're going to have to create a Disney account if you don't already have one, and you're going to have to input all of your tickets into your account. So if you are one family, or if it's just like a husband-wife situation like it is for me and my husband when we go, I buy the tickets and then I take the ticket numbers that are on there and I input them into the app. There is a section of the app to do that and it'll give you different options on how you want to bring your tickets into the app if you didn't purchase directly through Disney. It's quite easy. Once you've done that, then it's going to take you to the reservation calendar and that's when you're going to have to pick which days you're actually going to be in the park. Now, you can potentially get away with doing this and changing your days once you're there. We did that when we went last year in 2023. We swapped some days because there was availability. So that is possible, but it's not guaranteed. So this is the best way to just like ballpark, look at the weather, kind of see how, you know, what days you think are going to work best for you and pick those days. And then if something changes, you can always go back to the reservation calendar and see if there's another date available and you can make changes to your reservation. The other thing you're going to want to consider before you're going is your dining reservations. So 60 days out from the date you want to make the reservation for, that's when you're going to be looking to book reservations for certain seated restaurants like the Blue Bayou, Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Room, Lamplight Lounge. Those are probably the three big ones that you're gonna, if you absolutely want to eat there, some of the character dining like Goofy's Kitchen, those sorts of things, you are gonna want to be on the app or online logged in, ready to go around, I think it's 6 Pacific, 7 Pacific, I believe it is, because it was 6 a.m. here. Anyway, double check what it is for your time zone. But the 60 days out, you're going to want to be on the app relatively early. Sometimes they release things even earlier in the morning. So you can just kind of keep refreshing if you're like really dead set on something. And then you're going to want to book your dining reservations. If for some reason you're 60 days out and you haven't made your park reservations yet, you can still make dining reservations. Just make sure that if it's a dining reservation that's in a park, that you either have a park hopper or you have a reservation for that specific park if you're doing single day tickets. Yeah, I was right. It is 6 a.m. Pacific daily for Disneyland. And if you're doing Disney World, it's Eastern time. But it's whatever time zone the park is in. 6 o'clock in the morning for the 60 days before that date. I'm a big proponent of if you're attached to doing some specific dining, getting up early, getting those in, and then you can always cancel them later. There is opportunities for walk-ups, but there's no guarantee, especially if your party's bigger, that's much more, less chance of that happening. So those are like your big things before you want to go. Another thing you can do before you head out is kind of have the discussion, depending on how big your party is and who you're traveling with, and decide what the priorities are. If you have less than 3 days in the park and or are doing Park Hopper and or are doing Genie Plus. Sorry, it's Lightning Lane now. They just got rid of Genie Plus like last week. Anyway, you want to kind of decide what your can't miss things are and what you might be okay with not necessarily doing. So if you absolutely need to ride Rise of the Resistance, plan that and make that part of your priority list. If you're not a huge fan of characters or the parades, that's cool. You can just kind of move on past that and you can actually utilize those times for rides. All right, so we're going to talk if more so about flying in. A lot of this does apply as well if you are driving, but obviously I come from Canada, so we fly in. So we do have direct flights into Santa Ana, which is the Orange County John Wayne Airport, which is about 20-ish minutes from the park. So we do have direct flights a couple times a week from Calgary, so that's typically the flight that we will take. You can fly into LAX and those other like surrounding airports like Ontario and Long Beach. Just kind of depends on where you're coming from. Once you get there, this will depend on if you're renting a car or if you've driven in or if you're going to just get an Uber or a taxi. So we always Uber/taxi from the airport, get to our hotel. We typically usually land around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and most hotels check-in's like 3, 4 p.m. So if we can't get an early check-in, we will check our bags with the bell service at our hotel. And then because we always stay within walking distance to Disneyland, that also means we're walking distance to both a CVS and a Walgreens on the corner of Harbor and Catella. So we'll usually leave our bags and then we'll walk to one of those pharmacies and then we'll get some snacks for the room, just to have like drinks and stuff, and we will then walk back, and that kind of kills some time. So once you're at your hotel and you've checked in, there's a few different things you can do on that first day. Some people, typically these are more magic key holders, they will actually go into the park like that day that they get there. But now, especially with reservations and stuff, the day of arrival for out of town guests and non-magic key holders is typically just like a getting settled type of day. There are lots of different restaurants and stuff you can have dinner at that first day along Harbor Boulevard, which is right across the street from that entrance into Disneyland. The Anaheim Garden Walk is also walking distance from Disneyland. It's like maybe 10 minutes from the main entrance. It's a pretty sad mall. It looks nice, but it's pretty empty, but they do have restaurants. So they have the House of Blues there. They have the Cheesecake Factory. They have a Bubba Gump Shrimp. California Pizza Kitchen, those sorts of things. So if you're looking for something to do on that first night, you do have options that are walking distance. I am going to kind of talk more for people who don't have a car available to them, and just kind of stuff you can do within the actual resort on that first day. We will typically do Downtown Disney. So you do not need a park reservation or a park ticket to access Downtown Disney. It is open to the public. There's no fee. There's no price. And you can go in and you can shop at World of Disney. They have a bunch of other just like normal stores there. There's a Pandora store, those sorts of things. And then they'll have a bunch of different dining locations as well. There is an ability to make reservations for these through the Disneyland app if you would like. If you don't mind waiting, you can typically get into some of these relatively quickly depending on your party size. But there's options like the Jazz Kitchen, and if you want to do like a walk-up service, there's Earl of Sandwich, those sorts of things. There's a Salt and Straw ice cream, which I went to school in Portland where Salt and Straw is from. Highly recommend. It's some pretty good ice cream there. So you can get all sorts of things in Downtown Disney, do some shopping. I always go for a new pair of mini ears and a new spirit jersey on my first day, so you can do those sorts of things. But if you want to wait to spend your money on your souvenirs, you can also just like browse that first day. All right, you've landed, you've gotten into your hotel, now you get to go to sleep and go to Disneyland the next day. So I highly, 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 highly recommend rope dropping if you can. That being said, if you have the time, so if you're doing 1-2 days in the park, you need to rope, I say need, you should rope drop and really truly utilize your time if you want to get a lot or everything done. It is difficult to do the parks in two or less days if you really want to get everything done. Disneyland, especially, California Adventure is easier. You can do it in a day, especially if things are working to your advantage, and if you're using Lightning Lane. But if you have 3+ days, what I would say to do is, yes, rope drop, but you're actually not going to rope drop. So what do I mean by this? Be there around between 7 and 7:30 to get through security. I'll go through that in a minute. And then you're going to, the turnstiles open at 7:30, usually 30 minutes before opening, which is pretty typically 8 a.m. for Disney. And you'll have access to Main Street USA. So what this means is you can actually get into the park that 30 minutes early and really just like soak in that first 30 minutes on Main Street. And if you are not getting into the crowds that are about to rope drop and go off into Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, Adventureland, Frontierland, once all of those people just like disperse and take off at 8 o'clock when the rope drops, you, if you, like I said, if you have the time, you can just kind of like hang out in front of the partner statue, in front of the castle. Maybe you can get some photo pass pictures taken with the actual Disney photographers, those sorts of things, to just kind of really absorb that first, you only have your first, there's only one first time walking down Main Street and seeing the castle, or walking down Buena Vista Street into DCA. Get some pictures taken, really soak it in. You only get one first time. And I really, really think that that's like the best way to do it for your first visit. However, if you are doing 1 day, 2 day, 3 days kind of, and you feel like you're crunched for time, truly doing a rope drop strategy, which I'll give you in a future episode, and getting through those rides is probably more the way to go. So, I said we were going to talk about security. Let's do that now. So, if you are staying in a hotel on the Harbor Boulevard side, you are going to enter through the east gate on Harbor Boulevard. If you are driving, or if you're staying at a hotel that is kind of close to the Toy Story parking lot, you will also be entering on this side, because that's where the buses drop off from the Toy Story parking lot. This entrance is pretty busy typically because you're getting all of the hotel guests coming from the east side on Harbor, and you're also getting the Toy Story guests. However, the Toy Story parking lot guests do their security at the parking lot in the morning until about like 10, 11 o'clock, and then they switch that over. So when you get to security, the first thing you're going to see is the canine dogs. I mentioned this in one of my other episodes. You just kind of walk on past them, let them do their thing. They're just sniffing for stuff. And then you're going to pick a line. So it doesn't really matter what line you get into, because you can't just walk out of the security gate on the other side straight to where you're going. They kind of have you funneled into one little point of entry. So you're not going to like really win by trying to get onto one certain side. So usually in the morning, because they're so busy, they have people like directing you into lines, but just pick a line. Obviously, people with strollers and big bags are going to take longer. So if you see people with like multiple bags, small kids, kids in strollers, they have to check all of those things. So you might want to not get behind them if you can avoid it. But obviously, that's a pretty typical Disney guest. That might even be you. So it is like old school airport security. They're going to ask you to open your bag wherever there's a zipper or closure. Typically, they'll get you to open it and they'll kind of like shuffle through it. Depending on your security guard, sometimes they'll even make you open things like your wallet, depending on how big they are, those sorts of things. And they'll just kind of look through it all. If your kids have their own backpacks, they have to get checked, all that. And then you slide that along the table and then you walk through a metal detector. If you have something that you can't or will like something attached to you that will set the metal detector off, like a pacemaker, like the older pacemakers, or an insulin pump, or those sorts of things. You just let the cast member know that you have that, and you walk through the metal detector, and then they'll do a quick wave with their handheld wands, just to make sure you don't have any, you know, anything else on you. And then once you pass security, you're on your way. So that's entering from walking into the Harbor Boulevard side. If you're parking at the Toy Story parking lot, you will do the exact same security process, but you will do it at the parking lot before you get on the buses in the morning. If you're parking after like 11 o'clock in the morning, typically they've moved security fully to the parks because the influx of people have kind of dissipated at this point. So if you have driven yourself from out of town, or if you've rented a car and you're staying further away from the park, you can park at Toy Story. This is an off-site parking lot. They do have buses running pretty regularly that bring you to the Harbor Boulevard side, and you'll enter the same way that people walking from the Harbor Boulevard side would enter. If you park in the parking garages, these are on the opposite side of the resort. So this is your Mickey and Friends and your Pixar Pals parking lots. There, I think, I've never done this one. This is just from watching people on YouTube do it, but I believe they'll open those parking garages around half an hour before security opens. So you can be there around 7 o'clock in the morning. I do know that lines will form when they're waiting to get in. So you go park in the parking garage, and then you will go down to the main floors, and then there's trams. So you get to stand in line for the trams, and then you get on the tram, and the tram takes you to Downtown Disney. Again, you'll do security in the parking structure itself. And then once you get on the tram, you do your little tram ride, which I definitely want to do one day just to do, because apparently that's also magical in its own way. And then the tram will drop you off kind of at the end of Downtown Disney, and then you'll have to walk the rest of the way into the Esplanade and into the park turnstiles. So you've gone through security, and now you've arrived at your turnstile. Whether you're going to Disneyland itself or into DCA, the process is pretty much the same. So you should have already had your tickets uploaded into your Disneyland app. We mentioned this when we were making our reservations. Because it's your first time, the cast member is going to take the picture of each person corresponding to their ticket. And this is kind of like a security measure to make sure that the person using their ticket is actually the person using their ticket. So if you're the person in charge of your whole party, this is going to take a minute. Typically, I will scan my husband and he can go through first, and then I'll go through last. That's kind of how I recommend you do it, because you can kind of stand off to the side and be like swiping through the tickets while the cast member is scanning you. So you open up your app, you click on your ticket, there'll be a barcode there that the cast member will scan, and then they'll get you to look at their camera. They just have like phones too, and they'll take your picture, and then they'll say, "Welcome in," and you go through the turnstile, and you're officially in. They only have to do the picture the first time. After that, it is just scanning, and once it clicks through and they see your picture, you can just pop on through. Magic Bands don't really do anything for you at Disneyland. If you're coming from Disney World or anything like that and you have a Magic Band, I don't even know if they can scan your ticket. Here, we don't have the little stands with the fingerprint reader here. It is just old school cast member with a scanner scanning people's tickets in. Okay, now you're in. Regardless of what park you're in, once you have scanned your ticket, you can start choosing lightning lanes, you can use PhotoPass, and basically the app is now fully functional. If you're looking to mobile order food, especially breakfast, you can do this outside of the park. You can mobile order literally anywhere in the world, and it works. So if you are wanting breakfast, especially if you're wanting something from Jolly Holiday, you would want to, or the cappuccino cart in DCA also gets booked up pretty quick. You can do that before you even leave your hotel. So you can mobile order breakfast, you can kind of pick a time if you're wanting to go do rope drop rides for an hour or two first, and then come pick up food at like 9, 10 o'clock, you can do that. I highly recommend once you get to your first ride, depending on what kind of line you're in, checking through lightning lanes and seeing if you've purchased lightning lane for the day, kind of starting to make reservations, because you can stack them if you know how to do it right, which will be a future episode. And also, if you want to do kind of that slow morning that I was talking about, you can use your app to also access PhotoPass. So if you purchase Lightning Lane, I guess, I don't know how they made this work. Typically when you purchase Genie Plus, PhotoPass was part of it. But if you purchase that service, when you have your picture taken by one of the Disney photographers, the PhotoPass photographers, they will scan your phone and it will be able to, you'll be able to see it on your phone, and you can access different printing options and download options and those sorts of things. They'll also take pictures with your phones too, though, if you want. So you can take, they're kind of like posted in very specific spots. So there's typically two of them posted in front of the floral Mickey, right when you first walk in after the turnstiles. There'll be one standing at, in Town Square, kind of looking down towards the castle. And if it's like a Halloween or Christmas, they'll be taking pictures with either the pumpkin, Mickey pumpkin, or the Christmas tree. There are always PhotoPass people in front of the castle, in front of the partner statue in the morning, and then kind of posted throughout the park in the more like photo op areas. And then if you wait in line to see a character at a, like a designated character place, there's typically a PhotoPass person there as well. So you can use that in the app too. So these processes are essentially exactly the same whether you're in Disneyland or in DCA. If you ever need help, just ask a cast member. That's what they're there for. They're phenomenal. If you have a really good experience with a cast member, there's actually a place in the app to give a cast member a compliment. And that can be just like a nice way of them finding out later that they made someone's day extra magical. And I really hope that this kind of soothes any anxiety about the first day. You can't really do Disneyland wrong. Just being there in itself is the magic. Of course, if there's things you really, really want to do, that's why podcasts like this exist, to help you kind of plan ahead and figure out how to make those things happen. But stuff happens. Rides break down, torrential downpours come through, and people get sick. Like, things happen. So always be flexible in your Disney plans, and you'll have a magical time no matter what you're doing in the park. I could just sit on a park bench and be happy, if I'm being honest. All right, so that's it for today. That's all about your first trip and what to expect on your first day. If you have any questions or want me to go into any more detail about any of these things, feel free to pop over to my Instagram account and leave me a direct message or comment on one of my posts. If you loved the magic of this podcast, it would mean the world if you liked, subscribed, and left a review and on whichever platform you're listening on. It helps the podcast reach other Disneyland lovers like you and me. For more, you can follow me over on Instagram at plan.b.magic.dl. And we'll see you next time.